Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
God doesn't just do anything. So you need to look at the prophetic undertones. What meaneth this? You know, you should be able to ask the question, what meaneth this? What does this mean? When we see the angels begin to dance in the skies, peradventure the Messiah is just born, we need to ask, what meaneth this? And that understanding that you have about seasons in your life and about situations can help make all the difference between those that serve him and those that serve him not. We have a lot of people in church, but very few people lack understanding. How do you know? Look around you. So it's not so much about your makeup as it is about your make inside. Because when you, what is on your inside is burning deep within you, it's usually expressed in the happenings around you. You can actually condition your environment. You can live by the Spirit. You can be strong. You can rise out of pain. You can walk in the anointing. You can walk in the fullness of the Spirit. You can have access to supernatural information. You can walk in God. Hallelujah. So you need to be sensitive so that you are not missing and you are not sleeping in the day of battle. So all we do here is to help you find your God zone. Is to help you find that work God is doing on your inside. Then you can respond to it. And every time you wake up in the morning, you are not thinking, oh God, am I in your will? You know you are in the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ask that the Lord will give us entrance this morning. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you this morning. And we'll bless you. We ask that the entrance of your word will bring light and give understanding to the simple, that your word will come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and that your people will be truly fed with the very words that come from your mouth. In Jesus' name.
Shalom, shalom, Jehovah, shalom. You are the focus in this place.
Come on.
Shalom, shalom. Oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. You are the focus in this place.
Come on.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. You are the focus. Shalom, shalom. Jehovah, shalom, shalom, shalom. You're the focus in this place. Shalom, shalom. Jehovah, shalom, shalom, shalom. You're the focus in this place. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Jehovah,
shalom, shalom, shalom.
You're the focus in this place. Shalom, 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 shalom
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We speak shalom to every life in this place. We speak shalom, the peace of God over Nigeria. We speak shalom over every African country. We speak shalom. We speak to every gift of God represented here this morning. We speak shalom. We speak shalom. We speak shalom. We speak shalom to the work of God in the earth. We speak shalom. You are the focus in this place.
Shalom, 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 shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom,
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Because you give us hope. Give us hope this morning. Kazala ne de kabush. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Son of God. Sapreshka. Kazavale Namasaida Isaraj. Sabele Masaida Kala Dasa. I thank you, Lord, for your prophetic anointing. Thank you. Masafalene Sepresh. Usafelera. Sheras Kaladesha. Sefelenesa. Aha. Aha. Kasefe Lekadesa. Irekesa. Sele Tepresefa. Sala. Aha. Aha. I thank you for your prophetic anointing. Elasafa. Sapre Kadesh. Kasafalane Sapal. Allah Kera. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Salena. Sharada Balas. Spirit, thank you for your prophetic anointing. Thank you, Salena Mishala Sabala Dreka, because Sande Kasar entrance Ivasilana di Shaba. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Reba Safalina Sate Sabre Sabala Katapana Kadabalasa Ereska Tushate. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hear what the Lord is saying this morning. The rest, for I take my journey to the waters of Bethesda to visit my servants who are lame in the feet, to begin to give them strength to rise again. I speak into your feet because you thought you have been grounded. Say, but no, I kept you there so that your purpose can be clear to you. As I bring you healing, I will break you free from the power of religion and from the fear of man and from the hold of man, and I will liberate you to be able to go find your kind and bring them into the place of purpose and destiny. And they say, he says, I'm going to put my fire in your heart. It will burn in such a very profound way that when you see people that I'm bringing along your path, the fire will intensify and you will know that this is one of those that he's sending you to. You will not need to struggle to know them. He said, but you will sense an intensity, an intensifying of the fire, and you will know that, yes, this is one of the people that the Lord is sending you to. You will not need to go to everybody, but to those to whom the fire intensifies towards. Isa. Kelevesile Nisale Mazanere Tapara Sefe Dele Sitanama Zalina Kideshka Brasefelina Setreshaba Ezephelina. He said, earth will always mirror the heavenlies. He said, I'm going to put my song in your spirit. I'm going to put my words in your heart. He said, they will have the potential and the power of fire, the ability to consume and to alter the cause and nature of anything it comes in contact with. He said, this will be a sign to you and to the people you are sent to, so that they will know that our God still rules in the affairs of men. Because many have arisen and they have said, oh, there is nothing to it. It's just another religion. He said, but I'm going to use you as an example to set the standard and to bring men into a place where they begin to fear God again. Zalina, Izaran, Nasafedi, Bezere, Vesefele, Nosuka. He said, be encouraged and be joyful. Say, for your season of rejoicing is here. Say, your season of rejoicing is near. He said, if you tarry a little bit, he said, you will see the glory of God. He said, you will see that those things you have tried for so long to make happen will begin to happen by themselves. Why? Because you chose to tarry. He said, if you can tarry, there's a baptism that is coming upon you. He said, to be profound, and it will alter you. It will consume you from within and alter you. It will change a Simon to Peter. Lisani, Kazaran, Zephali, Zeprejusu Kede, Bazafalina Sitaya. He said, Kezofeli, say, journey with me on this mountain and tarry with me so that I can breathe upon you. I can breathe upon you so that this clay can become a living soul. Share the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Cause your power and your might to rest upon me and give me the grace to speak as the Spirit bursts and breaks forth within me. I hide behind the cross. And I receive mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week I started sharing with you on apostolic people, in apostolic times. And again, like I shared with you, when you see things begin to happen in the physical, you can begin to see what the eternal mirrors. And it is only wisdom for you to be able to look at the things around you to see what the Lord is saying. God doesn't want us to be reactionary Christians. He doesn't want us to be people that see stuff happen and then we begin to react to them. He wants us to be able to see things as they have happened in that realm, and then we can take positions. Because certain things can be altered in the spirit. There are certain things that when you hear a prophecy, prophecies come in different categories. There are certain prophecies that are self-fulfilling. For instance, when God said that he will give us his son and he will be born into the earth and he will die and he will bring forth our redemption, it was God's personal project. There was nothing anybody could do about it. Then you will begin to think that when God finally chose Mary, that possibly Mary was the key maker. Mary was very important in the program of God. But when you read the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you will see that the reference was made to Joseph and not Mary, which means that it was who married Joseph that would bring the Messiah, not Mary. Sometimes you just don't know how important your destiny is. That for you it's just another person that was born, but for God this is the key maker. This is the game changer. And that's why God will never allow you just stroll into your destiny. He will allow opposition to test you and to refine you. He will allow you come to the place where you just say, okay, God, if it is still your will. When you get to that point, God is finally able to do something with you. You see, when there's so much energy in you and there's so much idea and wisdom, that God, can I give you an opinion? Then God says it's not ready. You know, but when you come to the point where like, what is God doing? Say, honestly, I don't know anymore. You are just like, whew. Every time I said I was going to do it quickly, then I ended up staying late. Every time I said I was going to come in late, I ended up coming early. For some reason, I'm not able to capture the energy and timing of the Spirit. As long as you still have creative ideas for God, you are better off a CEO than a prophet. So it was not in the program of, it was not so much about Mary that it was about Joseph. And that's why God took it personal. to show up in Joseph and say, do not be afraid. Because many times it is the recipients of the breakthrough that even have more understanding than the carrier of the destiny. So even Joseph didn't understand how important he was. And he was trying to, like, you know, I've been living a holy life. I don't know how you got this baby on your inside. And then you are giving us this old lame excuse that it was the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, you can do better than this. Holy Ghost. Ah, come on, Mary. Come on. Something has been going on in this church. Every time I shut down, I go home after prayer meeting. Something is going on here. People don't just get pregnant. Somebody should explain to me. This Holy Ghost. Come on. Some of the things the Lord is doing on your inside. Is this same? Is come on now. Say something better. You can't tell me this is God. Where did God leave you to ordain him? She has been more consistent in church. She has been more prayerful. She's fasting. This guy sleeps half of the time. And then God showed up and said, hey, I need you. There are some things that don't add up. God will never allow defeat to take the glory. He would rather use the leper. Are you still with me? So I want you to look at the work of God in your heart and how far he has brought you and how you've transitioned, so that you don't put your hope in vain things. The will of God is not to give you material things. You can get that if you can do oil bunkering, or you can do a little kidnapping. If you are lucky, they don't get you. Amen. You make some money. So God doesn't struggle with the devil in areas where there are alternatives. Are you hearing me? There are many ways to get money quickly. And you pay your tithe. And the pastor doesn't even need to ask where he got the money from. He just say, hey, hallelujah, glory be to God. But he won't do it God's way. Huh? God will look at an Abraham whose father was very rich and was doing well, and he was the heir of the company. And then he'll say, leave your father's house. Say, look at it. Walk away from it. Then Abraham has to look at it. Wow. Because in Abraham's town, it's not compulsory. Your wife must have a child. You can take a second wife, a third wife, a fourth wife. As long as your money can afford you, please feel free. So Abraham didn't really have to wait for a promise. His problem started when God started talking about the promise. Abraham's problem was not childlessness. He never saw it as an issue. Because he had option of second, third, even the wife's servants, they are his right. So it was, that you didn't have a child is not an issue. It's your destiny. But God looked at the one whose womb was closed and said, this is the one I need to bring laughter to the earth. Again, I remind you that Isaac is not that boy that was born to Abraham. Isaac is Jesus. A prophetic prototype of the work of God in the earth. Laughter. When men say it is impossible, God says all things are possible. So yesterday, last week, I started sharing with you about Apostle Paul and Aquila and Priscilla and Crispus and Galileo and a few other prophetic prototypes. And this morning I just want to hopefully take it a bit further. The goal for me here is not to fill your head with so much knowledge, but to put you in overdrive, autopilot, where you can begin to see how everything you do in your everyday life tallies with what God is doing in the earth. Are you listening to me? People who read through scriptures, everyone who did stuff for God didn't do it inside church. Are you still with me? I see everybody who did stuff for God. They didn't do it where? Inside church. So let's deal with this issue of I'm only effective for God when I'm in church. You understand? Church is a training ground where you are being deployed. You are discipled, you are raised, you are discipled, and you are deployed. It is if your church is not deploying you, please get out. Including this church. Church, the strength of a church is never in its sitting capacity, but it is sending capacity. If all your church does is help you give a good tithe, and it's important to give your tithe, or help you have a good family, and it's good to have to raise a family, have family, church life, and all of that. But if that's at best what your church does for you, then we need to reappraise. Because when God comes down to give the result of this course, he's going to start with your pastor and ask them, how did we get to this place? I didn't ask you to raise another community of idiots. I asked you to raise a community of people who can stand for me. So by God, I will do my best and leave the rest. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? I was talking to, went to visit my friend, Pastor Desmond. And it gave me a very powerful insight. You remember the guy who mistakenly dropped the bomb on the IDB camp? That Air Force guy. You remember? You read the story? At least you heard. Because bad news is good news. People don't hear when 100,000 souls gave their life to Christ at Rena Bonke's meeting, but they hear when a bomb drops. And again, I say to you, be always sensitive in the spirit to read the prophetic interpretation to things that happen around you. Now, what happened was a very sad thing, but it's a prototype of what's going on around us in the church. They asked the guy, what happened? One of the things he said was that there's something that is called the fog of war. You know what fog is? A fog? You know, well, according to him, yeah. It's just like you have Ikoroduro. The Ikoroduro road stretches from Maryland all through to Fadeyi, right? So it's a large expanse of land. The guy could have received some security report like, oh, stuff is going on around those areas. And then he's right there at a particular peak. Then he sees an area that's covered with fog, for instance. Now, that's my understanding of what he said. So it looks like, why is this area different from the other areas? It's possible there's some commotion going on beneath. So just shells the area. Of course, it was an error. Of course, whether it is, there's always the real story, the true story, what actually happened, the political story. So, but suffice for now. In an advanced country, the head of those departments, battalions, we should have resigned to allow for proper investigation, but not in Nigeria. It's only in China and some of these other countries. I heard that the chain went off and 10 people died, and you just see the, before you hear, you say the prime minister has resigned. In Nigeria, the prime minister wants to see what happened. No, you resigned and let somebody take over. Because in this part of the world, we thrive on power. How much power you have, how much you can keep for yourself. I would rather everybody doesn't have so that they look up to me. You know, so that works best. In that way, we can maintain stability. And if you still have that kind of stuff in your head, then you need to come for a brainwashing session here, because we are not doing that kind of stuff here. We can all be powerful together. We can all be graced together. I should be able to celebrate the grace of God in your life. It doesn't take away anything from me as the pastor. I mean, I should be able to celebrate that. The first thing God does when he calls you is to save you from yourself. Before you save the people. So the guy said there was a fog of war and he mistakenly shelled the area. Unfortunately, he shelled the wrong area. I'm looking out for what more he has. I'm sure there's some other stories to that, but that's what I heard. Let me bring it down to our constituency, which is the church. You see, that guy understands spiritual authority. Before that guy ever says anything to the press, which I hope he maybe may not even be allowed to, it is his superiors that will come out and give an explanation. And it is time for those of us who call ourselves leaders. When I say leader, I don't mean necessarily that you are the pastor of this church. I mean everybody who has at least one soul that he reports to God on, to begin to wake up and take this job serious. There are certain mistakes the generations that preceded us made. We cannot afford that. We cannot afford casualties anymore. We have to go out there and get our hands dirty. This task of winning souls and winning nations, somebody has to wake up and face the fact that this is why Jesus came to save us. We cannot keep doing this old church thing and trying to fill up the spaces and feeling good that God is here with us. Hey, somebody should slow down. If you have at least one person under you that will probably call you in the night if he or she is in trouble, then you need to wake up and listen to this message. It's no more business as usual. Because out there, somebody is shelling because he was not properly taught and not properly mentored and properly discipled. Somebody who was so graced by God but lacked the discipline to stay under and receive tutelage is stepping out there and shelling the wrong places and killing the innocent people simply because he was not properly trained. It's not enough to be gifted. You must be disciplined. scripture measures us as soldiers. One of the descriptions Paul gave us was the description of soldiers. And you know the thing about soldiers? They are trained to survive on very little. You get into a spot and you probably don't even have anything close to what you have in your house. And in that thick forest, you have to learn how to make fire. You need to learn how to make food. You need to learn how to eat rice without salt. You need to learn. I know your God is a very good God, but please, can you just hear me out for a few minutes about eating semi-cooked beans, drinking water from very dirty sources? The people you are doing all of this stuff for are on their beds sleeping. I need the leaders in God's house to arise and take responsibility for what God is doing today. God will not, is God seated down? He's not sitting there taking wine. He's seated there. That is the greatest strategist I've ever studied. I will see him, and when Lucifer was trying to mess up heaven and take over the government, God just sat down. Why? Because God had put a system in place. He had a military strategy. He had command centers even in heaven. He had a Gabriel. He had an archangel Michael. He had someone that reported to Michael. He had different layers of authority. He had an information minister and a prophetic angel, the person of Gabriel. There were people who were giving a minute by minute assessment of what was going on. And God just sat on his throne, just watching. It didn't bat an eye that Lucifer had taken 1/3 of his entire angels. He didn't bother him. He just sat there. Because God doesn't just work with a plan. He has a backup plan. He has a backup plan. He has a backup. You cannot catch him. When a prophet stood up and said, God, I am frustrated. I'm the one fighting this war. I just rained fire on about 450 people, our prophets, and they died. I'm so frustrated. But he could not stand the warfare that came from a woman. And then he became so weak and depressed. You see, when Jezebel attacked Elijah, he wasn't attacking him physically. He was attacking him spiritually. And that's why the man of God started feeling depression. I would think that if I prayed in a meeting and literal fire actually fell down, I would just walk away them day with the rest, you know. I'm just looking for where to, you know, cause some damage. But Jezebel didn't show up because she knew the power of an altar raised in secrecy. She stood in a place of secrecy in that altar and sent a message from that altar to Elijah. Say, before my God, if this time tomorrow you are still breathing, I am not who I say I am. And she was not just bluffing, she was going to do it. Must understand the power of secret altars. Altars that you don't come to the pulpit and brag about, or stuff you try to talk people about. There are things that are between you and God. Nobody will hear till you see God in glory. Generals are not made in the on the altar or where you can see people. They are trained and they are taught to keep quiet, because your strength is in your secrecy. People look at you, they're just like, there's something off about you. We can't really say, don't worry. Just there, don't worry. You are doing 7 days fasting, or 24 days, or 70 days, and you're just like, oh. Except for the public, very extremely close people to you. Most people don't even know if something. They say, Pastor, are you sick? What's wrong with you? I'm fine. You don't come out there and begin to tell people, oh, this is what I did. I'm going to tell you, oh, empty your account and give it to the other person. She needs the money more. You don't come here and start feeling like we are in the giving ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, bless God. God is using us to touch lives. When the re-giving starts, it is marked with tears. When the re-giving, you will be humbled. Because for you, this is like a major hit in your business. And God just told you to give it away. And the brother just took the time. God bless you. God bless you. He didn't even like, he didn't even show some emotion. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. He just took the money. And walked away. Like, God, that is so rude. No emotion. Understand the power of the secret place. Apostles are men raised in the secret place. We didn't see anything about Elijah until all of a sudden he just came out blotting out the utterances of God. Say, the Lord before whom I stand, there shall be no rain. The first thing he showed up when he said, when he did, was to retrieve the power of rain. That is the power that gives life to earth. That's the power that gives life to growth. And he just came and said, hey, no more rain. That is a strong apostolic grace being demonstrated there, where you are able to suspend nature and stop it to remind people that there is God on the scene. I know we do all kind of administrative stuff in church to get church going. We have all kind of things we do, you know, to make sure church is properly aligned and all of that. But my brother, The real harvest will not come by administration. It will come by soul winning. Soul winning here, not just in terms of crusade, but the quality of the harvest. The quality of the harvest. The quality of the harvest. So today I want to talk to leaders. I want to talk to those of you who have a business and you have people under you. You have a people who report to you in your job. You have this last week, I gave one of my staff a query. So after some, and I was laughing at him and I was typing the query. So after I sent it to him, and I said, "Hey, look at your box." Now I said, "Ah." And what happened was I had gone to his drawer and I saw some incriminating documents. So I decided to give him a query. He now came to me later, you know, on my seat. He now said, "Where that your church serve there? I won't come there for Sunday." I said, "I don't want to see you." And I said, "Why do you want to come anyway?" He said, "I want to come and I will share testimony as a first timer. I use the opportunity to ask the church to beg you." That's why I started laughing. He said that you should please beg you to leave me alone. I said, "Okay, leave me." I said, "I leave you alone. Don't come across for it. Just stay away. You just do your thing, whatever it is." He said, "I will come. I go come. I go do like say I did blessed." When I just hold the microphone, I just say, "Man, let me beg you. It's my guy in the office." I say, "Hey, I don't want to see you." I mean, I say, "Is that the only reason?" I say, "Because the way this way they go, I don't know where you go copy next time. So make I just at this church matter go to." Somebody needs to begin to look after those who are sent, who you have been sent to. Look at them. Look at their faces. Look into their eyes. This is too much work for one man. Hello? I said, "This is too much work for one man." Are you still with me? Too much work for one man. I have quite a bit to look into, but if I can't, I'll stop and then we'll close the meeting. But I hope I'm communicating so far. If I'm able to just sell an idea to you, I'm probably fine for today. Now, what does it mean to be an apostle? The word apostle, like we all know, is from the word to be sent, or a special messenger. A special messenger is someone that has been given a particular message for the people he's sent into. And so when you say someone says an apostle, it's not a title. It's actually an assignment, a work. And we are all supposed to be in the apostolic ministry, even though we are not all going to be in the office of the apostle. But feel free to at least recognize yourself as being someone with a special message. In the same line of thought, we have quite a number of people who are supposedly sent but don't have a message. I remember that man who said to David, he said, let me go, let me run. Say, "You don't have a message." He said, "Let me run." I said, "Okay, go. It will give us peace of mind." And the guy got there, nothing to deliver. There was another guy that was coming, and the guy had the message. There was no fanfare. The moment he was asked the question, he gave the message. If your assignment is not something you can say to me in at least 1 minute without thinking, your assignment, and you should probably just think I'm asking you right now, then we'll probably have a challenge with understanding why we are even here. You understand? Every time God does stuff, he doesn't do it because of vainglory. God is past making anybody feel. If you understand the demands of heaven for your life, how much importance do you place on that thing? Why would God ask an Abraham, because he wants to give him a son and an inheritance, to leave his family and journey for years? And even in that Canaan, the only thing Abraham got for himself was a burial ground. All that journey for a burial ground, which was where he buried his wife. All that wahala. How does God think the way he does? Because many times, as long as we keep thinking God is a man, and Isaiah tells you, God is not a man that I should lie. We need to start taking God out of this man equation. that even though Jesus has the body of a man, he is spirit, he is the word of God, his internal configuration is the word of God. There was no Jesus doing creation in Genesis chapter 1 or recreation, but there was the word of God. That every time God gives you an assignment and a message, it is because he wants you to share in his calling, in his passion. God will never violate the rules of the earth by coming down again. He would find somebody, he will find you, he will find myself, somebody who can say, here I am, send me. As long as you think God exists because of your miracle job that you're expecting, you still don't understand half what we're talking about. I said, if you think God exists, the reason why God exists is your happiness. That's humanism. Humanism teaches and defined as the end of all things is the happiness of man. That's humanism. The end of all things is what? The happiness of man. So if it makes you happy, it's okay. I saw quite a number of ladies last night on CNN running to and fro the city, speaking against Donald Trump, asking for women's rights. I wish them good luck, because Trump doesn't watch CNN. Trump doesn't care. You should have known that by now. He doesn't care. We need people who can be that focused and not distracted. So you need to sit down this morning and take a list of all your legitimate distractions. We've got a job to be done. I thank God for Ayobabalola and all the stuff that he did. Ayobabalola will stand on the podium and will, after preaching, will begin to sing, Jesu olomi hire o mi. You are not there, Isaac. Just that guy was a strong apostle, and if he was alive, I don't think anybody would be taking any step in church without him. And we have strong apostles even now with us. We have great men. I remember Justin Suleiman was trying to rush to the airport in Ikeja here, and then he was coming to his son's, one of his son's church, because they had moved his flight to just stay a bit. And then the son just called him. He called him and said, oh, get me something to eat before I get to the church. And just before he got there, the man called back and said, man of God, I have bulldozers in front of my church. They are here to bring the church down. He said, just tell them to wait, I'm coming. So when he got there, he saw military officers, you know, it was way back. He said, who is the commander? I said, you, come. That one said, I don't report to you. I can't come to you. I'm an officer. The Apostle Suleiman said, you are not the only soldier here. Your own boss, if I tell him to come, he stands up and comes. Come here. Now, you must know what you are doing to be bluffing that way. One piece of wisdom you take out of this meeting, don't get into the way of someone carrying a gun. So say, what's going on here? Say, we have papers to bring down this building. It's okay, I have new orders for you. You are not bringing down this building. Say, no, we have a reporting line. Please stand out of our way, sir. Say, I say you are not bringing down this building. Say, we are bringing down this building. Okay. You can either go through that way or that way. Pointed up. In other words, somebody is going to die. They start the bulldozer, gave the order. The guy said, hey, wait. He just came to the machine, the bulldozer, and laid his hands and said, in the name of Jesus. Now told the man, start it. Say, the engine has just packed up. So I say to you, the driver, take that way or that way. Pointed to the sky. Either you run or you die. The guy didn't wait for his commander officer. He just jumped down and took off. He now looked at the commander again. Take that way or that way. The church is still standing there today. Amen. So we need people who operate in strong apostolic authority. And in case you think it's just all about wisdom and quotable quotes, there are some demons we are going to be facing that don't read all those English books. So if God will have the raw power, not just power to heal the sick, power to shut down systems. But when the devil knows you are very strong in that term, he will bring the battle here and bring a bulldozer in front of you. If your own power can only heal the sick but can't shut down a bulldozer, who told you the same power to heal the sick cannot shut down a bulldozer? It's just a mindset. Take out that mindset out of it and repeat the process. Are you hearing me? But those kind of operations come in the way of people who understand the intensity and the power of their assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's also important for you to know that the joy of your of an apostle is in his assignment. Every time he sees the work of Christ being replicated, whether it's in the business world, whether it's in his school or somewhere, every time there is always an addition to the body of Christ as a result of the things he or she does, that there is a joy that comes. It's called the soul winner's joy. There's something that comes to you, that a joy that no man can take away. Every time you are able to bring somebody and you hold his hands and say after me, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. I will serve you till I die in Jesus' name. Every time you bring someone to the, there's this joy like, wow. Most of us don't know that joy because it was a long time we won a soul to Christ. If anything, I still see Jehovah's Witnesses doing it. You know why? They were properly taught. When you don't have someone who is properly taught, they fire bombs and call it a fog in the air. They misfire, kill innocent people, spiritual innocent people. And every day, every Sunday, we have people who come into IDP camps, churches, and are being misfired at. Simply because all the church does for them is to make them good members. Not anymore. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are going to look at the models of Paul. We are going to look at the models of Aquila and Priscilla. One of the things the apostles we also know is the power of God's word. Now you need to understand that God's word, the Bible says every time God speaks, his word do not return to him what? Void. They move. God's word has capacity for movement. Hallelujah. I say God's word has capacity for movement. When God's gaze catches a particular person and speaks his word, the Bible says the word of God was given. Say, great was the company that accomplished it. It said the Lord spoke, once have I heard. God spoke once, twice have I heard. That what? That power belongs to God. I want to read something to you in Job, the book of Job, chapter 12, verse 10 to 15. Job chapter 12, verse 10 to 15. I want you to see the character of God's word. Until you can see the until you can see the bridge between what you have to do on a Sunday and what you do on the other 6 days, you may not be able to come into the fullness of what God has to do for you. You must actually come to the place where God can trust you. That if there's one man I have in my team that takes to instructions like a military officer, hey, is that brother? Again, if you're a God user, you use God like cocaine. You use God to get high. It is not enough to be high in the spirit on a Sunday. You must have enough sense to take all of that energy and deploy it. There are people who fall under the power of God on a Sunday. They receive so much of the spirit, but that is the best at which it gets, because they don't know what to do with it. They can't interpret it. They can't give a face to it. They can't say, oh, this is the impartation I received on a Sunday. They can't give a voice to it. Then it becomes a problem. At some point you get tired of falling. At some point you get tired of some assault. At some point you just get tired of getting tired, and you are sick of tired and tired of getting tired and sick. You are just tired because you can't continue this. Scripture says, in whose hands is the soul of every living being and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste the meat? With the ancient is what? Wisdom. And in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. He breaketh down and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a barn and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters and they dry up. He sendeth them out and they overturn the earth. That's the power of God's word. Do you see the impact? Every time God withholds you, and you are saying, God, release me, because there's still something you need to fix on your inside. And I'm not saying you have to be perfect to fulfill your ministry. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but when it's not the right time, when God withholds you, what happens is that, because waters are a symbol of nations and people in scriptures. The Bible talks about the sound of many waters. Many times when there are voices or discordant voices, you will see the picture of waters in the book of Revelation. And every time God withholds his word, the waters begin to dry up. But when he releases them, he said they overturn the earth. The Bible says when they, he said they make the well of the well of how do I put it now? Say that they, when they get to Baca, they make it a well. You come to a place of dryness, you overturn it, you turn it 360 degrees. Whatever is the state of that people, say, who are these people that trouble the land? They come into a space where nothing is happening, where everything seems to be happening well, and then they turn it upside down. They redefine the face of ministry and of fellowship with God just by their actions. They are not people who try to do the regular stuff or try to, like, let's find a place to coexist, let's have a central meeting point. We are not talking about Christian Association of Now. I'm not talking about Khan. I'm talking about people who are apostolic, wired to turn things upside down. And those people are not people with microphones. They are regular people on the surface of the earth, just doing their stuff, meeting with real people, talking to real people, engaging people to be able to make a definite decision for Jesus Christ. It's not just so much about salvation as much as it is about conversion. In Psalms chapter 147 and verse 15 to 18, I want to show you something, another character of God's word. Psalm chapter 147 and verse 15. Every time God speaks to us, it requires swift response. The eyes of all wait upon you, and you give them their meat in due season. You look at this scripture, it talks about when I focus on God and I put my 100% attention on Him, the Bible says what? In my due season, He gives me my meat. In other words, you must come to the point in your journey with God where you never look to a man for your sustenance. As long as your sustenance is somewhere with a man, God will restrict His hand. These are the little things we do that makes God very annoyed. We shout hallelujah and amen, but we look to man for our sustenance. We are hoping someone somewhere is preparing to give us that stuff. No. He said, all eyes look to thee so that you can give us what? Our meat in what? In due season. Your sustenance is from God. And this is your time to prove it. Verse 16. Thou openest thy hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto them that call upon him. That call upon him where? In truth. When God sends you to a place or commits a task into your hand, the first thing you must understand that his word has moved to that location. Every time God says something to you, his word has moved to that location to wait for you. Don't just think that because you didn't feel some fire or rockets, please can we... don't just expect to see fireworks in the air to believe that God is saying something to you. It's just like when you gave your life to Christ. Did you hear any voice in the heavens? You believed in your heart and you had a witness in your heart that you are now a child of God. Everything God is going to speak to you will always come by the inner witness. You may have spectacular voices, you may have visions, you may have dreams, you may have audible voices, but everything that God says, if there is no witness to it, you will lose it. And I hope somebody heard that. As everything God says to you must be backed up. It doesn't matter how loud. He said, when I was praying, I heard it as loud as a microphone. The voice of God. I heard, I am that I am. I am the Almighty God. Kneel before me. If you do all of that and hear all of that, and there's no witness, corresponding witness in your spirit, what happens is that after the passage of time, that voice is no more there. You begin to feel like, what did I actually hear? But just the way you believed in your heart when you came to Jesus, and anytime they wake you, you can beat your chest and say, I'm a God. That is the witness you need every time God speaks to you. Our generation must move beyond the angelic and we must come into the apostolic. We must move beyond the angelic and come into the apostolic. We need the angelic when we sit in a place like this. But when we are out there, they must see the apostolic. And this is not about naming any movement. I'm just reading scriptures. The apostolic. A sending God and a sent man. When they have fellowship together, the earth overturns. A sending God and a sent man. Say, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. There was a man sent from God. His name was Damola. There was a man sent from God. His name is Dimeji. There's a man. That God didn't end that scripture. There's a man sent of God. There's God is still writing that scripture, that particular verse. And until John can wake up and realize that there's more to his life than being a high priest, God will have to start shopping for another John. Every time God called you, just realize that there are probably 1,000 people he had called before he got to you. And many of them said yes, and they will go, and they didn't go. Some said no, and they didn't do anything about it. And God is hoping that you won't add to the number, because he's used to people saying no. Because most times people say yes, and then when they see the price that is put in front of them, can you choose between being a doctor and being my servant to go to Gambia? God is not calling people to Gambia anymore. God is not calling people to Sierra Leone. What are you doing there? There's nothing happening there. The Lord is sending us as apostles to Kentucky and to North London. We were going there to bring the gospel back to North London. And God is sending us to South Africa. The Lord is going to use us to revive South Africa. So what happened to Cote d'Ivoire? And what happened? You see, people, we all hear our idols. And until God's word has become so blessed that it is not lucrative, we have not touched something. God, what happened to Egbeda and Mushi? Just give me them slums. Ajegunle. Oh, no. God is not in those areas. God is not, what's God doing there? You know, you are supposed to move from Ajegunle into Lekki, not from Lekki into Ajegunle. Because the work of the Lord is upward, not downward. It's progressive. That's what we think. All God sees are souls. The reason why Ajegunle is the way it is because somebody was commissioned by heaven to develop that place and the person failed. You may not see the work that God gave you to build that place as anything. But because of your failure, you go to Ajegunle today, almost every street there are brothels. Almost every street. Go to Ajegunle. The real Ajegunle. You will see slums, you will see brothels. So when God asks you to be an apostolic builder, you are not seeing the connection. For you, we should just go out and win souls. God says, I want you to win souls, but I want you to build a system that allows souls to come in. So I want you to be an architect. I want you to go and learn building engineering or something. I want you to see the connection. It looks like a long-term thing, but for you, you are like, so you win souls, but I want us to build a system. One of the things, and I'm so sorry, Paul the Apostle, one of the things that I feel could be challenging is that Paul was able to raise Timothy and Silas and was able to work with Apollos, but because there was no succession plan. We didn't have people who continued to grow in the grace of the apostolic that Paul was operating in. So after Paul died, things began to disintegrate. And God had to personally shut that church down. While I was in Akungba, I started a prayer fellowship for people who got tired of the regular. So we will meet every Saturday by 4 a.m. on a Muslim ground and we'll pray for 2 hours. I think I attended some of one or two. We'll pray. When I was leaving school, I called my son, my good friend now, Paul Sesi. I said, I would like to shut this meeting down. And he said, no. I said, why? He said he will take over. I said, look, I don't want anything that becomes a beast after I go. We are trying to mirror something here. I don't want something that becomes an antagonist of the church. We are the church. He said, I shouldn't worry. So he did the meetings. He continued. Then he handed over to Stephen, who was here recently. And then Stephen handed over to somebody. And recently I was talking to Pastor Shea, and he was talking to me that, you know, when you go to that prayer ground now people, you know, go to that ground to pray. They've moved it to the basketball court and people are praying now, not on Saturdays, but every day. In fact, what really blessed me was at some point I saw a Deeper Life brother and an MFM brother who started praying together. I said, wow, we are getting there. Whatever can bring a father and die with holiness unto the Lord, then we are making progress. Because they will never sit down together. They will never meet. And me, I was looking like, hey, we've got to find a meeting point somewhere. Just because I am in the prophetic doesn't mean that the word of faith is error. There are progressions in the spirit. And you may be dealing with subtle pride when you begin to think that because you are more accurate, God has left them. If anything, the proof that you have seen the error is to bring you to the place of help. Coming to them and say, hey, let's say we work together. You are not coming with a big Bible saying, I want to correct all your error. No, you come there and begin to connect them like real people. And then they open up their heart to you. So when these two brothers came to me holding the answer, I said, sir, I'm so person. And so I said, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm from Deeper Life. Where are you from? He said, MFM. Oh, okay. So what's the problem? Something's wrong, definitely. They said, oh, we started attending your prayer meetings in school. I said, oh, do they still meet? He said, yeah. I said, okay. He said, and then one day I was so blessed. The Lord touched me so mightily. And then I started asking the Lord, how did people come to start gathering? And then the Lord mentioned your name to me. And then I asked people, who is Ben Gashafen? And they said, oh, he was a founding student of this school. And all I said, so I said, I'll come look for you when I come to Lagos. I said, so you Deeper Life and you MFM, how do you pray? You know, how do you do it? How does it work out for you? He said, well, you know, Pastor, it's just God. I said, for you is nothing. For you is nothing. For you is nothing. The greatest, and hear this, let me shock you. One of the greatest revivals in these last days will happen in the Catholic Church. Let me repeat in case you didn't hear me. As one of the greatest revivals of these last days will happen in the Catholic Church. There is a Pope that will rise there that will speak in tongues. That's a prophetic missile I just dropped. I said there's a Pope that will arise in the Catholic Church that will speak in tongues, not secretly, publicly. So you sit down there and begin to judge and pull down everything that you don't understand. Because God looks in the long term. Yeah, they use the rosary. He said, what are you using? They use rosary, you use anointing oil. What's the difference? Is this so much about the rosary? Can't you even see the big picture? At least they have a format to bring. You have no format. And you do that, you don't even understand what you're saying. The proof of your maturity is in your ability to reach out and say yes. Just like Aquila and Priscilla reached out to Apollos. Apollos was apostolic. He was an apostolic type, but he had a problem. He had a knowledge gap. Apollos was following God, but he understood majorly the baptism of John. And he taught it with passion. You needed to see an Apollos when he preaches. He preaches as if that's the only thing on earth. He took an apostolic prototype of an Aquila and a Priscilla who were strong but stronger to be able to say, hey guy, let's help you out here. Let me tell you a few things about Apollos. Apollos was in Acts chapter 18 verse 24. Apollos is a spiritual man. He's a man who loves God like you. Apollo is a spiritual man. He's not a backsliding Christian. He's a spiritual man. And every time, sometimes you go to meetings and you find very spiritual people who are in error. Don't judge them. They might just be another Apollo. Yeah. We've got to be patient with people. Are you with me? If know where they are at and reach out. The proof of your maturity is that you can reach down. It's not that you can sit up there and say, oh, you need to come up to this light. There's no light, brother. You go down. Go down there. That's the proof. And don't tell me that. Don't tell me your message is so high sounding. No, when you talk to your wife at home, don't she understand you? When you're talking to your fiance, she doesn't understand you. Why is it when you are now preaching that all of a sudden you're alone and understands yourself? Come on, somebody, you can't tell me you can't simplify this. You can't tell me you can't simplify any gospel that the man or the street cannot understand is not the gospel. Simplify it. Calm down. Don't lie. You are lying. This is spiritual pride. You can make that message simple. Somebody on the street can hear you, can listen to you, can believe you. You need to stop lying in the name of God. I once preached a message like that. I lie in the name of God. my hands are like this. When you are in court, you say, I swear to solemnly. So this, I lie solemnly. Don't tell me that you can't simplify. You can connect with people if you really want to. You can reach out to people if you really want to. Say, hey, guy, I don't have so much money, but I just feel there's something about you that is beautiful and unique. Learn how to affirm each other. Most of the times, you are so full of yourself, and that's why people are not opening up to you. Every time you are connecting with people, find something good about them to talk about. Then they open their heart to you. Then they can receive what you are saying. In every man, there is a deposit of God. You don't know how to reach out and say, the people are not responding. What are they going to respond to? You mean your stupidity? Come on, somebody, talk to me. Learn how to connect with people. You won't learn that one in the Bible. It's common sense. Say 5 steps on how to connect with people. Revelation chapter 3, 1 to 5. 1 to 3. 3 steps on how to connect with people. Number 1.1. Are you writing? Yeah. Just slow down. Slow down. That's why we sent you to school. To be refined. Because you knew when you were going to ask that girl, you know you are trying to behave and package yourself and look good and look like just getting her to smile at you and then respond to your text and waiting endlessly for the response to come on WhatsApp, and you are just like, hey, come on, respond. And you saw that she read the message and she didn't respond. Like, what's wrong with her? Respond now. And after I say, Pastor, I'm not praying well. I don't know what's wrong. Yeah, I know why you're not praying well. You sit on WhatsApp all day. WhatsApp. You can do yourself a favor by shutting that thing down. You see how people are willing to wait for one response. And then she says, like, at last. Somebody needs a overhauling. Don't ask me how I know. Amen. So Apollos was a spiritual man. Apollos was a teacher. And the depth of your anointing doesn't validate your doctrine. I said the depth of your anointing doesn't validate your doctrine. You may be erroneously anointed. That means you're saying you're anointed, no doubt. After preaching, you will heal the sick and raise the dead, but your doctrine is very faulty. So when you see an Apollos, if you are not strong, you'll be afraid to correct him. Like, see the way he preaches with passion. All his muscles. It's stealing. But the guy is half truth is even more dangerous. Yes. That's kind of best Apollos was. He was fervent, he was bold. One major character for me is that Apollos is a humble person. Yes. Yes. Yeah. He was able to get to the point where he knew where he didn't actually. We are just trying. You know, we want people to be blessed. But we are still growing, sir. If you can help us, if the Lord has sent you, we want to know more. Actually, you know, people don't respond until you are passionate, so we have to. But really, 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 to be very honest with you, sir, it's just the doctrine of John. I know I just started this, so no more than 1 year. We are still learning, we don't get a lot of materials, we don't get books to buy here. There's no video, no internet, no phone, no YouTube, no nothing. So we just depend on the little we have heard. And that's why you see us the way we are. If you can help us, sir, please help us. So you look at yourself and you can come to a point like, okay, fine, I may be a great evangelist. And don't fall for that trap where they say evangelists talk anyhow and create more problems for the pastor. An evangelist can come into this church and preach up a storm. And people are like, sir, our pastor is never anointed. So, you know, all this one that we will speak it up, four people start falling under the anointing. Evangelist just do his hand like this. That's why the evangelist, not you, not you, but his people, your people, they can do their hand like this and stir up a storm. Like, wow, that was electrifying. And then create more problems for me, because some people got healed, some people didn't get healed. So those people that didn't get healed say, Pastor, I'd like to see after I said. I say, sure. You think they want to sow a seed or something? I'm like, Pastor, do you know how many years I've been waiting on God for this year? I say, hey. Pastor, do you know that brother that got healed, that invited him, he has never been to church in his life. What am I doing wrong, Pastor? Can God, okay, I want to change. Can God just tell me? Ah. If you try it now, I'm telling you ahead. If you try that with me, I'm telling you my response ahead. I'll just kneel down and say, myself, I'm asking the same question. I don't know. Don't let me answer a question I've got to be asking. Who told you to say what you said? I don't know. Bro, what I can just tell you is that let's just be good hands. But if the Lord tells me, I'll get back to you. But my brother, I am asking the same question. But Apollos had a knowledge gap. A strong apostle, already in his calling, but with a serious knowledge gap. Now I told you God doesn't call perfect. The journey of development is your own. Did you hear what I said? I said the journey of what? Development is your own. God will not take you beyond your willingness to develop and grow. Eh? Grow. When you study as a doctor, a medical scientist, you keep studying, you understand? After all that 7 years in university, you are not even a doctor yet. Oh, you don't know. You didn't know. They don't recognize them as doctors. It's you that, out of respect for their wahala, you call them doctors. Where is Nii? You all that wahala, late night, you are studying business at me, you know the area of concentration. The problem of being a doctor is that if you don't learn your lessons well, somebody just died. There's an instant impact. People will die. It's not the one that in the future, here and now, somebody is going to die because of your deficiency. Like the guy who threw a bomb and said it was a fog in the air. The fog of war. He saw dust arising and could not interpret he could not interpret properly the things that were being displayed on the screen, on the aircraft. So it misfired. This misfiring tendency, we have to put a stop to it. You must see your way to be able to give a proper target. So look at Aquila and Priscilla. Now these are prototypes of people. You may find that in your own journey, you are probably one of these. The least you can do for me, if you are more mature than I am, is to help me come to your own level. Not to kill me. If you've ever been to the war front, like I've heard, when a soldier drops, if he's wounded, they'll carry his body. And they keep firing. They hold him. Oh, this story is there in them church. Oh, is that church? Ah, that pastor, they said his so-so person, his wife left. Hey, I knew he will fall. The way he normally talks, I know he will fall. He talks to anybody anyhow. If you hear that your brother fell and it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, and you didn't say, God, where did we miss it? Where were the people who are supposed to support this woman or support this man? Oh, you think people just fell? Oh. You're like, ah! The impact of this decision on the body. You're like, ah! Where do we start from? You begin to intercede. If that one doesn't happen, it's like, it's just a matter of time. We knew. It was just a question of time. It is not the feet that always take the game. Many times it is the lame that take the game. Be careful. So Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla, they carried an establishment grace. Every time an Aquila and Priscilla meet you, they are seeking for how you can be more established. They are not looking for the razzmatazz. They didn't preach so well like Apollos. In fact, if an Aquila preaches and an Apollo comes in, Apollos raises a storm like TDJ's. Everywhere is smoking. It's a storm coming. And Aquila is like, praise the Lord, can we have a word of prayer? It is the high fives and the tens. Stop 10 people and tell them tonight is your night of, oh, hallelujah. Come on, I'm not hearing you talking. Oh, come on, give me a holy scream. Lose your mind right now in the spirit. All for the ministry of John the Baptist. And Aquila has to say, you need to learn how to study God's word. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to learn. And the usher, sir, the message is still going on. Okay. Pray always. Always come for fellowship. Praise the Lord. Finally, I want to read Job chapter 5, verse 1 to 36. Then after the message you hear, if you are blessed, shout hallelujah. Just ask your friend that invited. Sorry, at what point do we share the grace and say, no, that's just the Bible study. The message will soon start. Oh boy, we don't come to church today. Oh. We don't come to church today. Oh. Chai! Wait, where is the pastor? See, that's the man now. He's here. So what's the name of this church again? It says Aquila Ministries International. Ah, okay. Aquila. Ah, I was blessed. Then next time, I say, will you be coming again? Say, yes, I'm coming. Come fire. There's one I'm hearing about. There's Apollo Ministries. You now see fire on their logo. Fire. Apollo fire. When you get there, just in back, 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 back. I say, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It got me moving. I couldn't sit still. Keep saying it. Keep praying in tongues. Take the power of God. You've got a fire burning on your inside. And people are just screaming. Yeah. Say, hey, somebody hear me this morning. Jump out of yours. I mean, you're just hearing stuff. Like, people are like, wow. Brother, did you know how sleepy I was till I got into that church? I felt the fire. So, wow, Pastor Bola, that church, hi, that pastor is on fire. Ah, bro, church deal. I was at the saloon the other day and I heard some three brethren talking about service the next day. It was a Saturday night. So, oh boy, they finished for maybe Uzariah. So I think they all came in together. Oh boy, we'll go to that church next week. Oh, you see that place where you sit down. Now that place, that girl sit down, she's always there. That you need to come in early, first service. She's always there. She's one of their protocol. Now that size, they usually, In my mind, I'm like God, is it that if harvest word grows to this, how people will sit down at the barber salon waiting to cut their hair and then be discussing, that's where Biola sits. But that's where Agnes is always standing. You can't miss her. She's there. Say, God, help me. Don't let me be the pastor of these kind of people. But hey, God didn't send you to perfect people. Deal with it. I won't run away if I see them. Before I was bothered that... I hope these ones are not my members. Because both churches that they were talking about also have Harvest as their names. I'm the pastor of Harvest, but that's also some Harvest church. So when you meet an Aquila and his wife, they want to help you get established. They are not so much interested in your paparazzi. They are not even interested in you inviting them to your church. They just want to help you to be better. And some of you are in that place where you can help people get better. Sometimes you are not really preaching at them, but in your workplace or business, you are not interested in helping people do stuff. You want to teach them how to do stuff. I was talking to one of my colleagues in the office and she's saying, we need to send a mail to so-so team in the head office so they can get the deputy managing director's approval mail. And I said, do it. I said, why are you telling me? Do it. I said, type the mail like this. Kind reminder. We still await your response. And send it to him. Say, all these senior people. I said, send it. Send it. See, nothing. The word didn't come down. It was just a mail. Some people are so scared of sending mails to senior. They're like, no one tell anybody to know my name in this office. So let me just leave me be doing my balance and finish, go home. I say, send it. And because my boss was not around and I'm the relief person, I say, you send it. Let them see your name on that signature. Send it. I know you're a contractor, but send it. Some people just want to help you get better. They want you to see what makes them who they became. Somebody somewhere pushed them and told them to be their best. I know you slept with that guy and you are so bitter about it. I will not suspend you. I will give you the microphone again and tell you, share your experience. Tell us how not to fall. Tell us the pains that come to a man after he has grieved the Holy Spirit. You are in a better place to tell us because you have been there. I won't just say to go and sit at the back. It's under suspension. They now know the back for those who are under suspension. Staring like Lukman. I know you fell. I'm not going to justify what you did, but I'd rather help you get better. For some reason, you didn't die when that thing happened, so we can fix you. We can make, as your pastor, I can take your case and say, Father, hey, I have hope in this one. Don't take his name out of the book of life. I will make a case for you. That's the work of a pastor. That's why the Bible says, count them to have what? Double honor. Because when God is almost through with you, they are the ones that go to and say, Baba, this one are my own. For all of you who relish in being pastorless, I wish you good luck on your journey. So, an Aquila could also teach. Maybe not as fiery, and I'm not really preaching about, I'm not really against preaching styles. I'm just trying to make some kind of clarity. And Aquila can also teach. When they teach you, one of the things you notice about that type of anointing is that it makes certain things clear to you and establishes you. You are able to come to a place of decision. It's not just pa 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 pa. They bring you to the place where you choose. That's an Aquila for you. That type of ministry will establish you. Whether it's in the person you need to work with in your office, or the decision you need to make in your family, or a ministry decision, an Aquila anointing will help you come to a place where you can make up your mind and close every other option. You need an Aquila in your life. I need an Aquila in my life. I don't just not need other people who say, I need an Aquila that can say, but can we look at this thing again? Can we fine tune our... All my friends, there's none of them that we are the same. So it's not about style. It's heart. It's heart. It's heart. Aquila had the grace to recommend. And you see all of that in the scriptures. That after they had mentored Apollos, they were able to recommend him to the church. They look like they are not so gifted. But when they write a letter and say, accept that person. It's like a Barnabas. Imagine all of that prophetic encounter Paul was having after he came 3 years in Arabia, where the Lord was appearing to him. Do you know that Jesus did not go to Peter to tell him, I have raised an apostle, someone that will take the gospel to the Gentile. I am sending him to you 7 days from now. Receive him in the spirit and help him. Jesus did all that training for Paul. Jesus didn't get back to Peter. That pastor, is it possible that God is doing something in your members and he's not telling you?
Yes.
Be humble enough to deal with it.
Yes.
Deal with it, brother. You don't know everything. Hey, deal with it. It's called humility. That something can be happening in your team and you don't even know half of it.
Yeah.
That people can be falling in love and two of them are in your department and you are not in color when they say, let's pray. Can and people, two people are in the same place in prayer.
Not my
prayer team. Not your prayer team. Oh, sorry, just your wedding bells. Huh? From where to where? Alalabasha. He sits here. She sits there. Nobody thinks anything is going on. You are guilty as charged, brother. And you are guilty as charged, sister. Huh? It doesn't matter. We thought we were all just leading worship and getting blessed. But somewhere, from the prayer mountain to the Davidic mountain, there's a connection somewhere and things are happening and we can't even tell. I thought we were all supposed to be praying. Things happen in church from the unlikely sources. How you can testify to that? You know about what I'm talking about. Guilty as charged. Keep postponing your wedding day, it's your problem. Amen. They had the grace to recommend people. There's something about being rightly connected. It makes your prayer life very You pray like this, you see result. Say, Lord, or your state, or I die. I know that the testimonies are coming forth. Before then, you see quick answers to your prayer. Oh, blessed be God. You find it like, oh goodness, I don't know if I should be preaching this. The power of recommendation. The power of recommendation. There's something about just being in your God zone, in your zone with your people. Bible says, blessed is the man whose troops are with him, the king. When you look back, you see your troops. There's something as comforting as when you look back and your people are with you, and they are chief men. And there's something as scary as when you look back and you just realize you're alone. Pray for an Aquila. Ask God to give you someone who will not look at your face and tell you the truth. Don't ever grow to that point where nobody can challenge you. The idiot that tried to unseat Pastor Adeboye is a pastor in Redeemed Christian Church of God. I'm sure he would have learned a very good lesson about how not to try to bite the fingers that fed you. If a man lays his hands on you and brings you into ordination and you try to fight that same anointing, it was not even Pastor Adeboye, it was Buhari with one signature removed him. Because Buhari will need that redeemed vote in 2019. I would rather sacrifice you for a redeemed vote. Simple business decision. Oh, Pastor Adebe called Buhari to start crying. Do you know he is my pastor? Do you know I laid hands on him? Buhari just thought, I am a man also under authority. This is a man under authority. I will not wait. He fired. Pa! First shot. We'll come there. When we start talking about authority and dominion, we'll touch some of those things. Pastor Adebe didn't have to take his phone to call anybody. What did Pastor Adeboye say? If you listen to his speech, he said, this is just a call for all of us to begin to dust our voting cards. Let's put our people in politics from grassroots level to the top level. We need people who can make godly laws for the church, people that will defend the church. I am still the general overseer, but for Nigeria, we have a national overseer. I will be general overseer worldwide. Amen. And we have people, but it's just a call to us to raise men. So when they heard that, they said to people that can vote in Redeemed Church are standing up. It didn't take Buhari to infer. Say, who is that person? Say, where is he? Is he a Christian or Muslim? It doesn't matter. Fired. Fired. The power of recommendation. That's an Aquila anointing. That's an Aquila anointing. As pastor, we need to employ somebody who can do stuff like this. Do you have anybody you can give to us? That's an Aquila anointing. Aquila and Priscilla had an apostolic mindset. They believed that if they were in any space for any reason, it's because they were sent. They don't wait to feel emotional about where they find themselves. There's no time. There's no time. If I wake up this morning and find myself on the street, what am I doing? I slept on my bed. For some reason, I'm on the street. I'll just look and there's somebody who is lying by my side, drunk, on the street. They always know or feel in their heart that there's always a reason why what happened happened. That there is no coincidence in the spirit. They're not thinking, girl, why? Why? The moment they find themselves there, they are looking for the door of entrance. The soul that was kept there. For some reason, you wanted to move, but you kept restricted. There is a Macedonian call somewhere. They're just looking for the door of opportunity. For some reason, you hate this guy, but you just keep chilling with him. Maybe there's a door of entrance. Maybe you need to share the gospel with him. Maybe you need to help him. Maybe you need to show him what it means to be a true friend. It doesn't necessarily mean marriage. Maybe you can turn the ball around and redefine the concept. That just because somebody is close to you doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with the person. I still have quite a bit, but I guess I will just begin to tie it down here. Again, like I shared with you last week, it's very important for you to find the people God is putting within your space and pursue them. Many times we identify these people, but we relax and wait for them to come. That's a wrong attitude. If you are the one who descends first, go. Go for it.
What?
Just because God says so person is going to be a blessing in your life doesn't mean that you have to just sit down and wait for it to happen. There are certain relationships that, yeah, God may want you to wait because it's premature for you to meet them down now. But the other relationships that God will tell you, this person is relevant for your next phase, pursue him. Get into his space. Some years ago, we were going to have, I was talking to my friend in the media world, and I said to him that, could you help me work out a meeting with Reverend Funlola Craig? And he said, okay, no problem, because they were quite close. So he was trying to work on that, and for some reason, I just felt like didn't pushing that subject anymore. Why I needed to meet a Funlola Craig was because I knew that she represented something in that generation that had been consistent. And I'm not looking for a spiritual mother, but I like to identify with fathers, because whenever God wants to transfer grace, he will do it through relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear what I just said? I said, when God needs to transfer grace, when God needs to make an anointing generational, he will look for those who are in that space. Have you ever heard of who are these brothers? These two brothers that do healings and miracles together, that lay down some bunky. Help me, David. They were so gifted in arthritis. What? Jeffrey brothers. These brothers were ministers, and they were co-anointed. They were twins. I don't know, were they twins? They were brothers. One would preach, when it was time for miracles, they would hold their hands and they would stretch it and begin to pray. You will begin to hear sounds in the auditorium. Crack, 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 crack. You will hear broken bones, people with spinal cord problems, all kinds of stuff. You'll be hearing crack, 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 crack. You'll be hearing rufflings in people's body, and people will be jumping out of their wheelchairs. You will see people without eyeballs, new eye sockets will be formed just as they held their hands and prayed. They didn't move away. They will just stay there and be praying. And they will be praying. Two white brothers. At some point, they became very proud. And when people needed to give the offering, they wanted them to come and drop the offering at their feet. Well, they are in heaven. You should be more bothered about yourself. But we can learn. Are you hearing me? It's not just because you are a pastor. It happens in other areas too. So please, open your eyes. At some point, they asked people to come give offering. And after they are giving offering that particular day, one of them said, the world is now at our feet. And God heard. The very arthritis that they used to heal was what God struck them with. One died. The other one, God kept him alive. I think it was Rena Bonke that was trusting God for the supernatural in his own ministry. I think even Somra too met with them. And when he got into the room, he saw the Jeffrey, the one that was still alive, sitting alone in the darkness of his room. He doesn't see people anymore, because God closed every door that had opened to him in ministry. God made people turn their backs on them. God cut people off. In case you think it is connections that open doors, God allowed those doors to shut. They were still alive. The doors shut. The guys would sit in a house like this. No light. He would cover all the blinds. He didn't see the sun again. He would sit on one spot in a chair. Morning till night. Until the day that Bonky walked to the door and knocked. I would like to see the surviving brother, Steve Jeffrey. He doesn't want to see anybody. Tell him, I am somebody on fire who needs what he had. Let him come in. And he came in, they sat in that darkness and they spoke. And when it was time to go, he wanted to pray for him. And Jeffrey, the surviving brother, held his Bonky and started to weep. He wept over Bonky's head and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And as he wept, that mantle lifted from Jeffrey and rested on him. And just because after then he died. Some things kill faster than fornication. They will kill you and give you the impression you are still there. The job of being humble is yours. If God has to do it for you, he will smash you. I said if God has to do it for you, he would have broken your head before he realized it. It's your job. After them, Bonky will go in. Do you see the way Bonky prays when he's at the crusade? You will not be surprised if nothing happened. Lester Sommer was also somebody that was blessed by that ministry. Lester Sommer was blessed by Smith Wigglesworth. And Wigglesworth also was in a similar condition where he had stopped seeing people because not that he backslided, but people were so angry at his method, they just shut him out. So as he became older, he couldn't go out again. He just sat alone. And every time Wigglesworth would say, come, let's go and pray. And they will pray. When you are related with a frustrated and tired man, you have to learn how to pray because they will just like pray. Morning to evening, pray. They say you come again tomorrow. Pray. You come again tomorrow. Pray. The man didn't have anything to do. Pray. And when it was almost time, the guy laid his hands on him and he blessed him. The mantle lifted, passed to him. When Lester Sommer was dying, Tunde Bakre was by his side. He laid his hands on him and blessed him. The mantle passed. So you see some of the madness that man demonstrates. It's generational. It's not just him. If you are carrying a wiggle sword, who doesn't mind giving you a blow when preaching or a slap and use it to share revelation? And then with another madness of Lester Sommer, and then you have this small body, and those three spirits are in you. You can't blame him. Just be patient with him. The spirits talking through him, they are not from him. A three generational anointing. As every time God wants to give you something that is very deep, he will not do it out of the blues, he will do it on the strength of relationship. So for those of you who like to commonize the spiritual people in your space, I wish you good luck. I hope you last. You may get something, but you may not get that which is generational. Learn to place some level of importance on your relationships. Very important. Very important. Why do we need to do all of this? Because we are going to be going out there into the world, into the education mountain. We are going to go out there into the health mountain, into the media mountain. We are going to go into government anointing, religious mountain, all the seven mountains of God. And when we are going to be interfacing with people, many times we will not be permitted to hold the Bible in that space. But they will not be able to restrict us from carrying our God into that space. So if you think the only time you are with your Bible is when you have a big, large Bible in front of you, King James Amplified, Message, New Living Translation, 18 versions, or you think that the only time you are spiritual is when you wear a suit with a tie and you're ready to deliver the word, it's because there's no persecution. Where you are in the grounds of persecution, there's no time for suit. You've got to travel light. We've got to be willing to bring the wisdom of God to bear on the mountains. When you go into the mountain of government and they begin to bring forth principles, when the rod of Pharaoh begins to become snake, begins to turn to serpent, the wisdom of Moses must be able to bring forth the same thing, but not just a serpent, a swallowing serpent. A serpent that has the ability to swallow up every other system and dismantle them. So it looks on the surface that what we are doing is the same thing. But one has outcome, not just result. In other words, their power will work until you get there. When you get there, they start failing. Now say, sorry, can I bring in another idea? He was a man of God, well, a brother in church. And I heard this story a few days ago. There was this particular German company, an engineering firm. Every time stuff went wrong with some of their major engineering base stations, they have to fly in the expatriates to come in and fix those things. And every time they fly those people in, those white guys, they sleep in first class hotels, a cool hotel, and then they, you know, they live fine and go into the base stations, work for 2 hours, say they're on break, they go back and rest, sleep, eat, come back and they just walk like that. There's this other guy in that office who is a Christian, but not educated. But it's a technician, it's a junior technician. So once the base station started having some fault, and then they asked the guy in charge, they send a mail to Germany to send us the expatriate. Then the guy said, oh guy, if you do them now. The manager, if you, you know, you are saying something jokingly, if you can do it, consider yourself an expatriate engineer from today. That's just a way of saying, this is not your level. Just forget it. Let's so there's wisdom that surpasses you. There's surpassing wisdom. You see, your problem is that you don't trust God enough. I say there's surpassing wisdom. You see that thing you learn in school, mathematics, everything. God knows them. God knows math. I can't explain to you. I can't prove it, but just take it from me that God knows math. There are languages that are not spoken on this earth that God knows. There's angelic tongue. God knows it. So this guy said he got into the base station, opened the door. He said when he looked at all the computer screens, looking at him, he said, I had no idea. I was as empty as Jack. I don't know if you've ever been there. Someone sent you a simple mail of 5 lines. And you realize you don't understand what the person was. I don't know if you've been there. Someone like, give us this in a tabular form, 1, 2, 3, 4. You are looking at it like, I understand English, but what is this person saying? I don't know if you have ever been there. Because you are going to reply all, and you are looking at all the people that are copied in that mail. The moment you misfire, they're like, who is this idiot? All I said was, oh, sorry, sir. So you are like, I would rather not respond to this mail than for them to now know your name with that person that can't interpret 5. So the guy got to the base station. I was like, wow. He had never seen anything like that. Because as a junior technician, they will only ask him, go get that stuff, go get this stuff. He knew how to do those things, but not at this level. You say, you know what the guy did? He said for 9 hours, I shot myself within the base station. 9 hours. You know, when you speak in tongues, I just speak in tongues to show that I'm Pentecostal. When we speak in tongues, we speak in tongues to draw energy from that which is divine. Rakata baladagaza, irisefelikazada, iribasafaladabasa, irikazafaladabasa, irisefelikadaba. He said he stayed there for 9 hours, reaching to the depth that is deeper than him. Rikataladaba. Then he started saying, oh, red wires, blue. Okay, this and this will create a spark. This and this, he now used this, traced it. Ah, this one should be this. He now came back. Ah, and all still praying in tongues. All of a sudden, you know, if you and really, I should say, if you stare long enough at it, you will see something. You know, it's not like, I don't know, it's tracing the wires. Ah, okay. Now, if I own it now, it's either there's a spark or we have a solution. And then he looks at it again. Holy Spirit, help me, help me, help me. And I just press on button. Bang, bang, bang. He just got his voice. He's working, sir. He's working, sir. Everybody got there. After 24 hours, Jinodu, you said so. well done. No, who does he want to start telling that after 9 hours of tongues, inspiration started coming? Imagine he doesn't have staying power in the place of prayer. Just imagine. So, God, that thing, because you're going to call those people, that thing no go work. I check him. I said, I told you that thing is beyond your league. The guy was able to know when quotable quote failed. And went in there to reach deep into the wisdom. And he reached deep and drew out that energy till color started making sense to him. It was, you know, it's just like being a lawyer, being a doctor. You're just looking at it and God is saying, no, it's not that thing. Check for this other thing. And you're checking this other symptom and you're seeing, so, okay. So there's a wisdom that surpasses. There's something that is called prevailing wisdom. Wisdom that prevails when the wisdom of Pharaoh begins to fail. You can seek the Lord for it. You can ask him for it. That know-how of the Spirit. That know-how of the Spirit. People just think you're a genius. You know your secret is the Holy Ghost. You say, know-how of your Spirit. When you pray in tongues, you are not just marking time. You are drawing deep into the river of God and bringing out virtues and bringing out power and bringing out the word of God's wisdom. And you are drawing into it. You know how to speak a word in season. That guy today, whenever they're going for foreign conferences, they send him there. And then when they are checking, they ask him, where's your certificate? He said, no, I don't have certificate. I have experience. Say, I know it is for professional engineers. And he said, call my office in Nigeria. They say, oh, that's our expatriate engineer. Please, oblige him. The guy doesn't have an ND. All on the strength of being able to pray in the spirit for 9 hours. You don't know what is on your inside. You despise it. You despise it. That's why you don't take it serious. Despising doesn't mean you look down. It just means you don't do anything about it. The power of being able to you remember the story you shared with me. He sat in a bus at the transport fare and sat in the bus and was praying in tongues. He needed to get to a location and was praying in tongues. Raka, paka. And the conductor came. Sit down. Yes, your money. Then say, make this man not see me today. Oh. And the man just came again. Yes. Till he got his location and they packed for him and he came down. When a man that is sent is on an assignment, everything works in his favor.
Yes, sir.
Even the devil cooperates with him. Say, we know you have to be on location. We are working with you today. We are not against you. We are working with you today. Say, devil will say, I'm working with you today. I'm working today. Everything just begins to align because if they come against you, they are crushed. Don't let the devil understand your assignment more than you. Because many times when God is asking you to do stuff, it seems God understands the power of your assignment. It seems the devil really knows that if we let this guy be, he will go far. So the devil starts on your case early. Even before you ever knew you were called, the devil will start on your case. And here you are just strolling into your destiny. Strolling. My brother, those days are over. I want to challenge you this afternoon to begin to see your calling. How that God didn't call wise people. How that God didn't call wise people, he didn't call rich people, he didn't call nobles. God came into the corner of the earth, in your family, where you people don't really have enough to eat, where stuff had happened, where people came from broken families, where you have elder sisters and elder brothers who have stuff going on in their life. God didn't go to the White House. God didn't go to Aso Rock. God came into the corners of your heart and put a gift on your inside and put a blessing on your inside. And how God looked at you that was said you would die, and he said, my son, live, you will not die. How God came into the corners of it and saw you wallowing in sin and in self-pity, and he picked you and said, my son, I will take this pain and touch the nations with it. I don't know how you are seeing yourself, but it is time for the harvest. The people sitting in this place to arise and see themselves as the harvest. So when you pray the harvest, you are not thinking somebody. You are thinking you. The people, the world changers, the people who are going to change this earth are the people I'm looking at. All you need to do is look inside that mirror of God's word and see who you really are. You are also the word incarnate. You are the word incarnate. You are the word incarnate. Let the word of God on your inside begin to blossom. Let the word of God on your inside begin to take preeminence. Let the word of God be born afresh in your spirit. Let it bring you hope. Let it give you the picture of that future. Don't allow anybody talk you down. If God says he has chosen you, there is nothing anybody, including myself, can do about it. God has the final say over your life. God chose Paul while he was yet Saul. God chose him, not in obedience, while he was in disobedience. God saw a general in that man, and God brought him up and discipled him and sent him back into the place where you fell. Can you look deep within yourself and begin to see that all of that stuff that has been going on was because God wanted to raise an Aquila, God wanted to raise a Priscilla, God wanted to raise a Paul. Can you begin to see yourself beyond this person that is just looking for a job or looking for a wife or looking for a husband, and begin to see that the host of heaven, the nation that resides in heaven, are counting on you, that they are waiting for your next move, that if there for any reason we are going to have another Paul again, it is because we are going to have another Peter on the scene, it is because you stood up. If there's any reason why a greater than a Timothy will surface, it was because you stood up to be counted. Peradventure, these are the days of Deborah again. We will rise in the strength of prophetic vision. When all the men ran back, peradventure, we can find another Deborah who will stand on the highways and not by the ways, and who will say, look, in these days, if no man stands, I will stand, and I will give leadership to the nation of Israel. She was not in the political class, but she saw something others were not seeing. Is it possible that you could stand to be counted? Is it possible that you are going to see your life beyond what you've always known it? That all of this pain will no more be things that turn you away. Say, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it persecution? Is it lack? Is it penury? Is it a broken hope in heart? What could it be? Could it be sickness? Could it be anything? Could it be failed promises? Could it be disappointment? Could it be a child you had out of wedlock? What is it that could separate you from the love of Christ? Paul said, no, none of these things. He said, but in all things, I am more than conqueror through Christ who died and shed his blood for me. What is your decision this morning? That if God has just one man standing yet on earth, it will be you. That if God has just one woman yet, it will be you. If God has one person who will commit to loving, it will be you. If God asks people who will make a definite decision, we have a lot of people who are in church but don't know how to make decisions. They spend their time trying to make their parents happy. They spend their time trying to make people feel good about them. At what age are you going to continue making people feel good about you? When are you going to start breaking some heart? Somebody needs to get up and say, hey, I am John, not Zacharias. My calling is in the desert. It's not in the high priest there. I'm not called to be an high priest. I'm a prophet to prepare the way of the Lord. How much of your calling and your assignment do you understand? Will you dare to be different? Say, Dad, I thank you and I love you and I appreciate you. I know everything you've done for me is because you love me, but Dad, I've got a call over my life. I stand to be counted. I stand to be different. The Lord said again last week, and I repeat, he said, do not be afraid. Speak boldly. Speak boldly. Everything I have put in your heart, don't wait for a pulpit. Go to Facebook, type it, pa, launch it there. Go to Twitter, put it there, pa, launch it there. Every avenue, use it for the Spirit. He said, for I have many people in this city. If there is a nation that is called Facebook, then God has many people that are in this city. I know a lady that sends me messages regularly from Germany. We can't communicate, so she uses the translator, and sometimes the interpretation is really weird. She just asks me, say, can you pray for me right now? There's so much stuff going on in my family, and I'll pray with her, and she will say amen on Facebook. I don't even know what she looks like. There's a 60 something years old evangelist who communicates with me regularly on Facebook in the US, and he says his ministry is for backsliding people only. He goes after those who have once been Christians and are backsliding, and he focuses on them. If you check his Facebook wall, everything there has to do with how to restore people that are backsliding. Can you stand to be counted? Can you just choose to be different? Can you just choose to stop talking about all these things you consider issues?
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.